This is episode 001 with Sydney Cummings.
I knew when he passed, I was going to have to figure out a way to get through that heartbreak and also figure out a way for my life. If it were my last day, the next day, I could look back and say, I'm really, really proud of this. I left something that's a legacy that's going to last beyond me. And at that point, I didn't think that I had.
Welcome to the Behind the Fitness podcast, where we interview the world's most motivating and successful fitness trainers, instructors, and coaches to inspire people to be their very best every day. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Ted James. Let's get going. Our guest has been named a Women's Health Magazine Action Hero. She's an athlete who still holds records for high jumping at West Virginia University. She's a certified trainer and nutrition specialist who has helped millions of people reach their goals with her strength and athletic online training programs. I want to welcome Sydney Cummings, owner of the fitness company Royal Change. We're going to really get to know Sydney today and understand how to be happier, healthier, and stronger through resilience. But before that, Sydney, can you tell us something that you believe can make you successful in health or fitness that many people might disagree with?
Something that I believe might make you successful in health and fitness that a lot of people might disagree with is the idea that the attempt always has to be when you're fully ready or your approach has to be perfect. I think people put this category of health and fitness into the place where it's almost unapproachable until you feel ready or until you think you have the time or the money or the life schedule that will allow it. I think, you know, part of that is prioritizing it, but I also think that people tend to hype up how big the transformation has to be for themselves, whatever their goals are, and they tend to sit back and think, that's a huge transformation. I'm just not ready to dive into something that's going to take that much commitment yet. When in my heart, in my mind, I believe it starts with small changes gradually that you figure out how to hold on to, and habits that you form or priorities that you make that you figure out how to make last, instead of thinking we have to flip the script for this massive goal and change our whole life tomorrow. You know, you don't lose 25 pounds at once, you lose 1 pound at once. And that takes the same effort as pound number two and pound number three, just like a staircase. You don't jump from bottom to top, you take the first step. So in my mind, I think a lot of people hype up a fitness transformation and they think they have to be totally ready and it's massive. And you don't always have to be totally ready. You don't always have to swing perfectly. You just have to start to see one little bit of progress. And that little bit of progress that you hold on for that might come slower than you want, I think motivates you to keep going to see those big results that you want.
That makes so much sense. Yep. And I think today people look at other people online or Instagram and say, all right, I don't know if I can get there. Mm-hmm. But really, the competition should be against yourself yesterday. So like you said, just get that little bit today and that would progress into that little bit more and a little bit more. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. All right. Well, can you give us a little more background on yourself and then tell us what drove you to find your love for fitness and nutrition in the beginning and then grow to become the mega fitness trainer that you are today? So what is the story behind why you do what you do?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my background is one that I think shaped me. I believe everyone's background shapes them. I don't always think everyone ends up where they think they will end up, but where they should end up. So I started as an athlete all throughout my life. I was, you know, middle school, high school, always playing sports. I did basketball, volleyball, track and field, tried a little soccer, wasn't fantastic at soccer. So what does that like that, you know, quick period didn't happen, but I was always an athlete. So I started recognizing that, you know, I could have the potential to go to college on an athletic scholarship and started traveling around the country during high school summers between high school sports seasons with USA Track and Field and AAU Track and Field, just trying to get exposure to people that were better than me at track and field. And I was kind of like a big fish in a little pond with high jumping. We had like six or seven people on girls on our high school track team. And until I got to meets during the season, I was competing with myself. So I had no way to really make myself better or see, here's what the competition is doing, here's what I could learn from these jumpers. So I started, you know, traveling and exploring the AAU track and field and USA track and field world. And by doing that, I think I got myself out there for potential to be recruited. And I got recruited for high jump specifically from a lot of different schools, but ultimately ended up going to West Virginia University, which, you know, I always had envisioned myself going there. That's where I'm from, is West Virginia. So okay. Completed a 4-year career and finished my bachelor's degree in child development at West Virginia University. And when I graduated, to be honest, I just had a lot of trouble finding a job. I couldn't find a job in the child development and family studies area. I thought I wanted to be a child life specialist, which is kind of like an advocate for children in the hospitals. And I just couldn't find a job. There weren't that many openings throughout the country for child life specialists at that point. So I then decided to put myself back through school and earn a second degree in nursing to become a nurse anesthetist. And to do that, I had to start working again because I didn't have, an athletic and academic scholarship anymore. So started working at a Make-A-Wish, a nonprofit foundation, to put myself back through nursing school. Finished my first year of nursing school, and in the summer between first and second year, I was laid off from my job. My boyfriend at the time, now husband, had moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was working as a CPA and wanted to kind of further his career in finance. And Charlotte, I think, is like the number 2 finance center in the country right now. That time. And he mentioned he had gone to a gym and talked to the gym manager about me and kind of bragged about my track and field history and all the accolades I had achieved with that. I was able to go to the NCAA national championships 3 out of the 4 years of my college career. And he was kind of bragging on me that way. And the guy was like, if she ever has an interest in personal training, it's very hard to get female personal trainers. And it's even harder to get female personal trainers that have some sort of athletic background to them. So when I lost my job, I remember calling him crying and saying, like, I don't know what to do. I can't afford nursing school. And he was kind of laughing on the other end. It's like, this opportunity kind of presented itself, but I didn't even mention it to you because, you know, it's 4 hours away. It doesn't make sense right now. So I then moved down to Charlotte for the summer, took my severance package from the nonprofit, and thought at least I can make money during the summer to put myself back through nursing school. And as you can guess, I didn't ever go back to nursing school. I just, fell in love with the idea that I was helping make someone's life better, like immediately. And I wasn't someone that had to, wait until they got into the hospital to take care of them. I was helping them kind of stay out of the hospital in a way and improve their strength and improve their mentality around movement and fitness. And I know it seems super, super small, but I never will forget the first time that I helped this lady named Carla accomplish her first push-up. And there was like a light bulb moment there for me. Like, this is how I want to feel daily. You know, I was making no money at all. I think my first paycheck was like $208 for 2 weeks, which I was super embarrassed about. But I knew that that feeling was something I wanted to feel for people like Carla and for people like myself. Just knowing like that is something that just changed the whole outlook of her day. And she's going to build on that. She's going to go into other situations in her day and feel more confident because of it. And so I knew it was going to be a really hard struggle, but I knew I wanted that feeling for her and for myself daily. So I started working at probably like 4 or 5 different gyms at one time, because you have a client-based job and you move to a city where no one knows you, you've really got to hustle. So I was working at 5 different gyms. I was driving to people's houses. I was doing free boot camps in the park, just trying to get my name out there. And I think where everything switched for me was after about 2.5 years of doing that, I had gotten to a place where I was not working for all these gyms. I was just working for myself. I was renting space out of an apartment complex gym in Uptown Charlotte to do Royal Change personal training. And in June of 2017, my younger brother, who was 24 at the time, just had a daughter about 10 months before. He got in an ATV accident, and after about 3 weeks in the hospital, he didn't end up making it. And it's kind of one of those moments I attribute my thought process completely changing around legacy, around impact, around this idea that we sometimes take life for granted. And I knew when he passed, I was going to have to figure out a way to get through that heartbreak, and also figure out a way for my life, if it were my last day, the next day, I could look back and say, I'm really, really proud of this. I left something that's a legacy that's going to last beyond me. And at that point, I didn't think that I had. So when he passed, my fiance and I, who, you know, Dustin and I had been dating for about 7 years at that point. So we were both, you know, just broken at that point. And we decided, sure, let's take this thing digital. Let's actually make a business that we can scale. Because at that point, I had, you know, a client for an hour. That hour was gone. I made one certain amount of money. And then that's it. You can't grow more hours in a day. And I was renting space, so I didn't have the ability to hire trainers to work under me or anything. So I thought the best way for us to do this together is go digital, and we can serve people. I can record this one workout. It can serve people for years, and they don't have to pay for it. So we wanted to break down the barriers to fitness. We come from you know, backgrounds where we didn't have a ton of money as kids growing up for, you know, extra gym memberships and personal trainers. And I lived about 20 minutes from a gym. Dustin lived a little closer, but I knew that there were people out there who didn't live close to a gym, felt like they didn't deserve fitness, or they couldn't have fitness because they had a certain amount of money in their bank account, or didn't have money in their bank account. So we wanted to make sure people could experience high quality fitness anywhere, no matter what. If you have, you know, 17 kids at home and $0 in the bank, you still deserve fitness. You still deserve to feel incredible and reap the benefits from investing in yourself for just a little bit. So it was, you know, about a year of building a stage by hand in a little like sectioned off piece of an engineering firm that we found randomly. Dustin and I built a cyclorama stage by hand and tried for a while to do these 5-minute workout videos that we thought people wanted. Didn't work at first. Listened to the people, listened to analytics, and we eventually moved into doing longer workout videos. 30 minutes was our first like full-length workout in May of 2018. And as we did that, we watched the numbers, watched the feedback. People wanted more consistent full-length workout videos. So we went into an every single day upload May of 2018 with, you know, 6 workouts and 1 stretch per week, where people knew at 5 a.m. Eastern, they were getting a workout. They knew how long it would be. They knew what it would be focusing on. And they would have a stretch and recovery workout as well. And we rocked there for just about, we're almost 3 years in now. And, you know, a lot of different things have happened since then. But the mission was always to make sure that people didn't have any specific requirements in their life to be able to access high quality fitness.
It makes so much sense. Yeah. And that's why you put it out on YouTube, right?
Right. Yeah. Totally free. Yeah. If you have Wi-Fi, you have access to brand new workouts every day with us.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Fantastic. Wow. That is quite the growth story. That's very cool. Are you still in the same space there?
We are not. Firm? We actually just in January of this year, since our channel kind of expanded the business into a community membership called the Sydney Squad, and also into, from demand of that community, merchandise as well. So we were basically just like wall to wall with, you know, boxes of sweatshirts and our filming set, and we were stacking boxes like 10 high to make sure we, you know, met the demand and didn't have room to bring people on to actually help us fulfill those orders. And we still had to film a workout and produce one every single day. So we just recently moved into a new studio that's in, just a little bit north of where we were, but we now have room for, you know, a team to sit in like an open office space. We have a merchandise and fulfillment section. We have a gym set for content now with, you know, just helping people understand how to use gym equipment and not be intimidated by it. And then we have 3 filming sets now that, you know, we can kind of switch between month to month or program to program.
Great. Nice. Yeah. And just helping people out, I think that's probably why you've been so successful, is just focusing on really helping people, whether they, you know, have money to pay for something or not. And I usually go to YouTube to find videos, and that's where I originally found you a while back. And so I appreciate it also. Thank you.
Of course.
Well, can you tell us about a moment in your life where you were at your lowest, and how did you overcome it, and what did you learn from being in that place?
I think I've had two moments in my life where I was the lowest, and I only tell this story because I think people can resonate with being at a low point in their life, you know, in some way. It doesn't have to look identical to my story, but we can all recognize, like your question kind of insinuated, the thought process around I'm at the bottom right now, and what mentality do I flip into to get out of here? So I would say the first one was when I lost my brother in 2017. And that was, I always kind of say I'm emotionally and physically with my business rebuilt from that. I think building that stage, as simple as it sounds, was kind of a process for Dustin and I, where we knew we were pretty broken. You know, we never experienced a heartbreak like that. You never expect anything like that. I, you know, don't feel like my brother deserved it. You could go on and on and on. And I think channeling that into, we've got to create something that will help people and will help us get through this time, was what truly helped us literally rebuild our hearts, rebuild the business that we were trying to run together. And so I think that was number one lowest point of my life. I knew that in that point I could sink into a mindset of, just like I mentioned, that he didn't deserve this. I don't feel like I deserve this pain. His daughter will never know him. There's so many negative avenues that I could have gone down and just rocked into the victim mindset. You know, I'm in a bad mood because I'm brokenhearted. I'm really mad at everyone, and I'm not going to come out of my shell, and I'm going to be recluse because I'm hurt and I'm broken and this bad thing should not have happened. But I didn't, in the mindset of tapping into, like, I've got to figure out if today were my last day, would I be proud of the life that I have lived so far? That's what helped me flip from this is terrible and I'm really hurting and I'm really broken to I've got to help myself get through this. I've got to show people that it's possible to move on with pain and still build a life that you're proud of. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. It hurts every day, but it's just deciding I'm not going to let that overtake me. I'm going to let it inspire me to bring the characteristics of my brother that I love so much into who I am. And that keeps his legacy alive in my heart. And knowing what I've, you know, channeled to rebuild, I think he would be proud of that. I think he would love what we've got going on right now. And he was so full of life. And I just want, I talk about this a lot because I want people to see that in some way, everyone at some point is dealing with really hard stuff. And it will change you, but it doesn't have to define you. It doesn't have to set you in a place where this bad part of your life changes you in a negative way forever. I don't ever think, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not a big fan of the someone's got it worse than you right now ideology. I don't think that's fair to compare pain, but I think in your own healing process, you've got to identify how you want the rest of your life to go. And honoring what has happened to you and the idea that it will shape you in your future, I think is a really high level of respect for, you know, I think my brother who passed on. I think it's also really respecting yourself. Everyone has terrible things happen at some point, and they shouldn't define you in a way that says, because bad things happened, you are going to have to deal with this heavy, heavy load forever. But in my mind, I shift into, because this bad thing happened, I've got to create a life that I'm really, really proud of. And I'm really pumped about the legacy that I'm going to leave. And I just use it for inspiration instead of working in spite of that thing.
That's, it's so easy to fall into the victim mode. And I definitely had things where I think, man, why did this happen to me? How, but you just need to be resilient like you were and put your energy into building something positive. And, I mean, that's what your brother would want. That's what anybody in that situation would have wanted, instead of, I mean, they would hate to be the cause of, you know, you having fallen to the victim mindset and then not achieve anything positive going forward.
Right.
And that's just resilience is what it really is. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I want to talk about next too, is resilience. And you have quite a bit of experience with resilience and building positive things out of it. And can you tell us what kind of steps that we might be able to take to be more resilient, to be build a positive life and be happier, healthier, stronger?
Yeah, I think you first have to identify that you deserve those feelings of happiness, first and foremost. I think mental health is something we are all starting to talk about more, which I really love. But Dustin and I, both of our parents struggle with mental health and depression specifically. And I think it's the idea that you can stay there, and it's very easy to stay there. It's understood by people if you stay there. It's, you know, for my parents, people would understand if they were sad forever because they lost a child. My husband's mom has struggled for years with depression and multiple sclerosis. And it's a place where I feel like they have almost formed something to where they think they're stuck now. And I don't ever think they've tapped into that idea that they deserve happiness and that happiness is possible for them. But it's almost like a mindset switch of recognizing that you deserve it. And you do actively have to do things to seek it and to stay in that seeking process, whatever it might be for you. You know, someone struggling with resilience might think, well, in order to be resilient, I have to be happy all the time. I have to love being around other people. And it doesn't have to look the same for everyone, but acknowledging that you have, you deserve happiness and you deserve to feel healthy and you deserve to feel strong, but also that it's got to be kind of like an active seeking process to where you know, I don't want to stay this way, or I don't want to stay in this mindset or in this mentality forever. And I think steps to take in that is, number one, acknowledging you deserve it. And number two, acknowledging that there are resources out there, whether it be people that will listen, things that you don't do enough that bring you a lot of joy. I was talking to someone in the Sydney Squad, our community membership, the other day, and I just randomly happened to say, do more things that make you happy. For instance, if you like painting, paint more. And I got an email from a girl who said, I'm sobbing right now because I just had a baby about 10 months ago, didn't paint my whole pregnancy, haven't painted since I had the baby, and I just sat down and just put paint on the canvas, and I've never felt more alive. I've never felt like I'm doing what makes me happy for me now. And as a mom, she's like, I'm just a servant to my child right now, which is what I feel I should be. But also I recognize that I can't pour from an empty cup. And I just feel like we don't often think about doing the things that make us happy, whether it's totally abstract or totally normal, going for a walk or like painting something that's incredible, or even not incredible, just painting. I feel like we don't tap into the idea of simplicity around doing things that make us happy more often. So filling up your cup, I believe, is a lot easier of an approach than thinking about getting rid of negativity, adding more things in like walks outside, adding more food in that makes you feel great, that actually gives you energy so you're not battling being tired and then being upset about what happened to you. I think they're synonymous in kind of making you feel defeated. Hydrating, talking to people that care about you, not talking to people that are also really into the victim mentality and like to gossip and like to complain. And I know we all have those people. We all know who someone just popped up in everyone's mind right now. Like, oh, she is a negative Nancy. So talk to people that you aspire to be associated with, or, you know, develop an idea or a goal that you want to accomplish and surround yourself with people that support that. I don't think there's one straight path to resilience. I think it's more of a mindset that you deserve the best. You can actively seek the best, and you've got to continue to surround yourself with the things that encourage that mindset and that lifestyle, whether it be sleep, food, water, mental health, the right people, the right things that you're ingesting visually from social media, from music, from podcasts, everything that you consume, people, energy, food, media has got to support the way that you are aspiring to be instead of the way that is keeping you stuck.
Yes. Couldn't agree more. And So my wife probably says daily, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
So that is so true. And that's kind of a lifestyle that we have in our house, at least. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Definitely.
Take care of yourself at least a little bit. And I feel that girl that had the baby, because we're right there too. I have a 1-year-old, so.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, yep. And but I agree, it's doing those little things in your life that's all aspects of your day. And
right.
It could just be, like you said earlier, take those little steps, build it into your identity. And
yeah.
try not to surround yourself with things that are negative, whether it's people or food or whatever it is.
Right. That is, you know, we get stuck on this hamster wheel sometime of just making it through the day, that we don't stop to think about what our day is even filled up with. We're just like, well, I've gotten through another day. I'm finally ready to go to bed. You know, you eat yourself into like a snack food coma, and you pass out and you go to sleep watching Netflix. You never think about, like, what am I putting into my day? What am I adding to my happiness? Or what's adding to me as a person, not me as a mom or a dad or an employee or a wife or, you know, a husband, whatever it might be. If you take all those hats off, you're left with a person that you've got to face in the mirror every morning that says, like, I'm grateful for today, or I've got to get through another day. You know, if that's your mentality of waking up, there's got to be a point where you respect yourself enough to say, something has to shift for me. And start small, start simple, start with like one thing that makes you happy, or one person. Talk to them more. Paint a painting that's like 4 inches tall, you know, something that's small but brings you a little bit of joy. And I think when you feel that joy, I also think fitness is that way for people at the end of the workout. I think once you make it through a workout, that endorphin rush is so contagious right. It's so rewarding for the work that you just put in. And you just start to develop this confidence of, I want to feel this way more often. So whatever it is, if you wake up and think, I got to get through another day, something's got to shift for you. Something has to be added into your life. Or even some things can be shifted and taken away, like not so much scrolling on social, or not so much Netflix, or not so much like post-work gossip. You know, what can you add in place of those things that actually makes you respect yourself and gives you energy and makes you happy? And I think everything is rooted in your own happiness. If you care about yourself and you're happy, I think you are a little bit more ambitious. You're more likely to eat foods that make you feel good, which is cyclical in the way that you feel about yourself and your happiness. So I think it's about identifying where you are and then saying, something can shift here for me because I don't want to feel this way anymore. And I think that's the biggest sign of someone who is resilient, just that awareness moment of, I've got to do something. I don't want to be here in this mentality anymore.
Yeah, right. And I think there's momentum to it, whether you're going positive in a positive way or you're stuck on the hamster wheel and you're not going in a positive way.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's one thing at a time, kind of what you said. You either add one positive thing, whether it's a workout or food, or the other way is, I'm just tired and I'm going to watch Netflix and eat whatever junk food it is that night.
Yeah.
And you start off at a spot and you get on this hamster wheel and you keep going, and you're always going in one direction, whether it's in a positive way or a negative way. So, in each day, if you're not adding positive things to your life, you're adding negative things to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you might accept a few days, a week, but then a few years go by and then you kind of turn into a person that you probably wouldn't have accepted at the beginning.
Even. Yeah. Someone you don't even recognize.
Right. And it's like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where people sometimes get even more stuck, and they're like, I'm here now and I don't know how to get out of it. But then there's that resilience, and you might find a YouTube workout for 30 minutes that's perfect for you. And that could be the Kickstarter to the next day that something else is positive.
Exactly.
All right. Well, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things in your role? And would you be able to give us some particular examples that maybe we could use also?
I love learning. I love researching. I love surrounding myself with people that inspire me. And that's, I will say that's different for me every single day. Being, you know, a wife and a personal trainer for people all over the world, and kind of like a leader of, I think, a large group of very diverse people, and also a business owner and a boss. I think it's different every day what I need inspiration in. You know, some days I'm like, I really need to figure out how to be a better relatable trainer to this group of people, because I'm seeing things, you know, that I need to inspire people a little bit differently. It's different every day for me on what I take in as inspiration. But I think learning is something that will always fill us up. It will always add value to our lives, whether that's learning in terms of a personal development book or podcast. If it's learning, for me, I really love learning about the body and about nutrition and about how synonymous they are in the way that we function and our happiness. I'm a National Academy of Sports Medicine certified personal trainer, fitness nutrition specialist. I'm now taking a stretching and flexibility certification. I'm also taking a sports nutrition certification, just making me dive into books and to research and constantly evolving in a way that I think will serve my community better. It'll help me show up as a personal trainer in a better and more enlightened and more knowledgeable way. I also think it's important for me to, I don't have a business background in any sense of the word. I was, you know, in the college of, my major was understanding children and families and how they develop and how they work together. And for me, I never had any experience in business. And thankfully, my husband, Dustin, graduated from a school of business with an accounting degree. So I like to learn a lot about that. I like to continue to figure out things that, for him, it's so basic. For me, it's new. But I don't think if I just accepted that I don't come from a business background, I was like, I'm just never going to get it. I don't think that's fair to myself. So I like just reading, you know, contemporary nutrition textbooks. I like, you know, National Academy of Sports Medicine continuing education courses. And I, from a personal development standpoint, I love listening to Mel Robbins. I think she's so insightful and so real. I depends on the energy. Sometimes it's music that I need in the morning to just get me hyped up to take on something that's big that day. But I don't think there's a limit to what we can learn. And I think everything adds into who you are as a person in the way you show up for your job, your relationships, your side hobbies or your passions. I think finding the way that you consume media or information best is important too. Like some people love to hold a textbook. Some people love to read from the internet. Some people like to watch a video of it explained. Some people like to listen to it explained. So understanding how you learn best is also really important. If you're not a listener, if you're not a verbal learner, podcasts maybe that teach you things are not going to be your jam, but holding a physical textbook will be so important for you. So I'm a huge fan of always learning. I schedule out for the Sydney Squad membership a month in advance all the research that I'm going to review and go over with them. And they have five or six lives a week where I'll review research. I'll pull up studies that have been done on things around fitness and nutrition. And it, number one, helps me learn more. And number two, brings about actual credible research to the community that I'm serving, and not just opinionated or very simple topics that I think most people could find anywhere, like an inspirational quote. But like, here's what the actual science says. Here's what this new study came out on intermittent fasting. Is it more beneficial? This new study came out on, you know, carbohydrate timing. Let's learn about it. So I think it's important for me to be able to be the best leader by constantly learning. But I also think as people, if we're not learning, our brain is just kind of coasting. If it's not challenged, you know, I think that's where you run into getting like a brain fog and a lack of ambition and happiness for life. You just aren't growing. So I think finding what you're interested in and finding the way that you consume it best is important. And then never feeling like learning is useless. It's always going to benefit you.
Absolutely. And I know for me, at least, when I'm learning things and I'm learning why I'm doing something rather than I know I have to eat broccoli. That I'm told I need to eat broccoli, so I'm going to eat broccoli. I want to know why vegetables are going to help me out, Aaron, or why, you know, why am I doing this workout that's making me sweat so bad? And, you know, why am I doing this? You know, I mean, there's some endorphins that kick in and stuff at the end that, I mean, it's fun, but at the same time, a lot of times it's hard to get going and actually, you know, start that workout. But if you know really the why of what you're doing, I mean, knowing the why of anything you're doing is always the most important, because that's what's really going to get you going.
Totally.
So
agree.
Understanding the science behind it. And that is awesome that you go ahead and do the research and then bring that research to your community so that they know why they're doing what they're doing instead of just I'm following the program because I think it's healthy.
Right.
They know the why behind it. So that's very cool.
Yeah. I think it entices people to actually believe in it and want to do it when they know why they're doing it too. I mean, why could be personal, but also like, why do I have you doing 30 seconds of this exercise versus 3 minutes? You know, here's the science behind how your muscles work and how they use fuel and what results from the way and the timing that we're working these muscles. I think it helps people tap into what they're trying to achieve when they know why. Why are they doing it that way?
Yes. Couldn't agree more. I ask everybody this last question. If you were able to pick only one short message sent completely anonymous to every person in the world, and they would really, really listen and take it to heart, what would that one message be?
That's a tough one. I think through telling my story, I truly believe that it's always in fitness and in life rooted in resilience and recognizing your own strength. So I would say something to the nature of everything you're going through isn't happening for no reason. It's making you stronger. And as you get through that, your resilience starts to come to life and you recognize the strength in yourself that maybe you never knew you had because you went through these things.
Yes, that's good. Okay, well, can you share with us how we can connect with you and how we can check out your latest workout program? And then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on YouTube, 5 brand new workouts a week at this point, and my channel name is Sydney Cummings. Instagram, Sydney Cummings _, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media platforms. RoyalChange.fit is our website where you can sign up for our Sydney Squad community membership and purchase merchandise and kind of see what's going on behind the scenes. Next program for our YouTube channel workouts is we're rocking into November right now, and it's called Pump. So a very muscle growth driven program, hypertrophy driven. And as always, it's rooted in strength because I feel like strength physically translates to strength mentally as well. So I would love to train you. I would love to rock with you. I'll be doing every single rep with you. So don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like you have to be at a certain fitness level. You just start from where you are and we do it together.
All right. After the show, head over to behindthefitness.com. You'll find links for videos to each episode, links to connect with Sydney, and more. And of course, be sure to check out Sydney's latest program. I'm personally doing the Strong Boost Edition right now, and I'm on day 7 of the program and loving it. It's a great program if you really, really like to sweat and challenge yourself. But Sydney, thank you so, so much for spending time with us and letting us get to know you better. It was truly powerful.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.